please don't tell me that you've been a hula hooper all your life. And now all of a sudden you've decided, because you made a downloadable PDF on Canva, that now you're a publisher and you can do all the things publishing, right? No, sorry, friend, that's not going to work. Fun fact, that happens quite a bit, not necessarily with hula hoopers, but you have someone who writes a book and now they're publishers.
Hey friends, frenemies, acquaintances, and haters, you too. Welcome to the Rebel Maker Podcast, where I, Marty Stotler, the Rebel Queen, your resident publishing maven, and serial entrepreneur, encourages rebellious behavior and rebellious action in women all across the globe. If you believe like I do, then you're in the right place. One, books change lives. Women totally run the world. Collectively, we have all of the answers. And on a scale from one to you just read my damn mail, not chasing that burning desire deep inside you is equivalent to a warm beer on a hot day. This podcast is a rallying call for high-performing women like you with big vision and a bigger will to lock arms and source all the tools we need to succeed for ourselves, for each other, and for the world at large. So cheers, friend. Here's to shortening the learning curve and chasing down those dreams like our livelihood depends on it, because it kind of does.
Hey, friends, it's Marty Stotler with The Rebel Maker. I want to talk about a few things with you today. The last solo podcast that I did was 2 weeks ago, and we talked about the things that you need to know to make a decision on, to determine how it is that you're going to publish your book, right? So we talked about traditional publishing, we talked about self-publishing, we talked about everything in between. And I just want to expand on that just a little bit, okay? So let's just say this. Let's just say you've listened to that podcast episode and you're like, I have decided that traditional publishing is my jam and that's the way that I'm going to go first. Like, I have an audience, I'm already doing the thing, I think that my material is amazing. I think that what I bring to the table is just going to be so cutting edge and so revolutionary that I am confident that an agent is going to pick me up and therefore a publishing house is going to pick me up and give me a fat advance. Okay, cool. That's great. Let's talk about this as it pertains to the nonfiction world, okay? Because what you don't want to do is you don't want to write your book and have a book fully completed prior to approaching an agent. What you are going to do, you're going to do all the background work before that happens. But what you are going to do is you are going to make a book proposal so that you can reach out to agents with this fabulous book proposal that's just going to lay out all of the things for them to make a decision. Because what happens is that once an agent has fallen in love with you, your potential, and your material, then they're going to go and they're going to find an editor. And okay, so I'll back up. They're probably not going to find an editor. You're probably going to get the book deal first, and then you're going to find an editor. But either way, the whole goal is that you are going to work with an editor prior to writing the book, because they're going to help guide you in what they want to see happen that's going to make your book better, more marketable. So listen, a book proposal is not easy. It's actually pretty freaking intense. And I'm just going to go over like high level, those things that need to be included in your book proposal. So things like your title. By the way, never marry yourself to the title that first comes to you. I don't care how much you think it is great. Never marry yourself to the title. It is called a working title until that book is published. And there are so many different factors that go into how to properly title a book that 90% of the time, that title that you think you're sold on is not going to be the title, FYI. You're going to put in there anticipated length. Your book proposal is going to include things like genre, the message of your book. Is there a call to action in your book? Who is the primary and the secondary audience for your book? And when you're writing this stuff down, Like, you're going to have to get real detailed on your audience. And we don't want things like family size, age, yearly income. We want psychographic stuff. So we want to know what motivates them. What do they struggle with? What are they reading and where are they finding that? Where are they hanging out? So those are the things that's going to come in with like primary and secondary audience in your book proposal. You're going to need to do comparison titles. Like, so competitors, niche titles. I actually hate competitors. I hate using the word competitors because when I buy a book, I will buy multiple books on the exact same subject. So I don't necessarily call them competitors. They're books in the same niche. But when you do those comparison titles, it's like a small essay, people. Get the book, read the book. What was great about the book? How's your book different from that book, right? Some sample chapters. Once you've got all of this background information done, you're going to need to write like a chapter or two. So they get a really good understanding of what you're bringing to the table. What's your writing style? How well do you already write? A fun fact, that's one of the things that factors into when working with me, how I determine what your investment is going to be. Two things. I need to know how big is your book and how well or not well do you actually write? Because that's going to determine how much work we need to put into your book. So your agent and ultimately your editor is going to be looking at those same things. We need your chapter outlines. So you're going to give us a couple sample chapters, and by us, not me, give us a couple sample chapters, but you're going to write out an outline of each chapter that you anticipate. Also, your information, your qualifications, why should we listen to you? Please don't tell me that you've been a hula hooper all your life, and now all of a sudden, you've decided because you made a downloadable PDF on Canva that now you're a publisher and you can do all the things publishing, right? No, sorry, friend, that's not going to work. Fun fact, that happens quite a bit. Not necessarily with hula hoopers, but you have someone who writes a book and now they're publishers, to each their own, whatever. Okay. And then finally, what's your marketing plan? Like, how do you plan on communicating your material and selling books? Okay. So all of those things are going to need to be done in a book proposal prior to going for an agent, right? Okay. So let's talk about how you find an agent. There's places that you can go online to find agents, right? Go to LinkedIn, Google, Publishers Marketplace, Publishers Weekly, all of those places you can go find agents, right? And this can be like a catch-22. So this can work for you really well, and it can also work for you not really well. So you are going to go and you are going to find competitive titles, right? Like books that are in your niche. And you're going to pull open that book and you're going to find out who's the publisher, right? So whatever, whoever the publisher is, Simon & Schuster. And you're going to call Simon & Schuster and you're going to ask for the contract department. And then you're going to ask who the agent of record is. That's the agent who sold them the book. Now, here's where this could work for you or against you, right? So if you have an agent who primarily picks up books on investing, like that happens to be their niche, they are likely not going to promote and or pitch two books in the exact same genre and category at the same time, right? Because why would they do that? Agents get paid when your book sells. So that book that they're trying to peddle, they are making no money on, and they're putting forth the work to get that book picked up so they can get paid. So it's highly unlikely that they are going to be pitching two books that are similar at the same time. However, if they have already found success in pitching a book on investing and they aren't currently marketing or pitching a book on investing, but they did really well and now they find yours, it could work really well for you. Okay, so there's just your tip on how to find an agent. So let's just say, Marty, I actually listened to everything you said. I am either A, not ready for a traditional contract, or I have already determined that is not my cup of tea. I'm going to write my book. Great. So here's some questions that I get when people are talking about writing their book. First of all, when I read a book, I want to think that I'm sitting across the kitchen table from you. If I meet you in person, or if I see you on a video, or I read your blog post, I want to know that I'm getting the same person in all forms of media that you're producing. Hey, Rebels. I know you've been listening to The Rebel Maker for a hot minute. And you're probably listening for a couple reasons. One, you're thinking about writing a book. Two, you wrote the book and now you don't know what the hell to do with it. Or three, you need help marketing the book that you've already done because you're falling flat on sales. Great. I got just the thing for you. Go to the website, rebelqueen.co. Book a call with me. Here's what's going to happen. One, I'm going to give you an action plan for exactly what you need to do next. Whatever that next step is, writing it, publishing it, marketing it. And also, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask any question that you have. Go to the website, rebelqueen.co. Book a call with me. When you are super technical in your videos and very conversational in your writing, there's a disconnect there for me, and that makes you untrustworthy. So if you are that super technical person, then by all means, write technically. If you are conversational in every other area of your life and media, make sure your book is being written very conversational as well. Like I said, that's what I prefer. I had a conversation with a friend the other day and she's like, you know, I'm writing my book. I feel like I'm doing really well, but I have this friend of mine who says that I need to not write like I talk. And in saying that, it is impeding her writing process. Because now she's getting flubbed up in her head about how she should be writing her book, right? So for flow's sake, I would just encourage you to write like you talk. Your goal in getting your book out of you is just that, to get the book out of you. There are editors who are very skilled, very talented, very educated, very amazing at what they do. So we let them do what they do best. Your goal is to get the book out of you onto paper. So please, for the love of vodka, write like you talk. It will come out way quicker, way easier. Don't worry about grammar. Don't worry about being proper. We fix that once it goes to edit. One of the other things that I tell my writers to do, and I'm going to tell you this, when you are writing your book out, when you are structuring it, your first draft, I want you to stick to the facts. If we can get that first draft out by you writing what you know, and if you're writing a nonfiction book, you're writing what you just get it out of you. The second half of that, like once you get that first draft out, and then we're coming back and we're going through like the second draft of that book. Listen, when you write, there's going to be a couple of things that's happening. You're going to start writing. And you're going to be like, oh, damn, did I start the washer? I need to pull the dishes out of the dishwasher, or it's going to be shit. I didn't pay that bill. I forgot to call so-and-so. Whatever the case might be, like if you have sat down and tried to write, so keep two notebooks with you when you're writing, two notebooks. One is going to be that stupid shit that you need to do. Jot it down, your quick little to-do list. But here's the other thing that's going to happen. You're going to start writing and you're going to get in a flow and your mind is going to start reminding you of stories, scenarios, things that you can include in the book, okay? So that second notebook is going to come in handy for those stories. Your first draft is not the time to fold in stories. Your first draft is the time to get the facts out, just brain dumping it. But you are going to take those stories and you're going to start jotting them down in that second notebook. And I say notebook, but it could be your notes section on your phone. It could be a Word document. It could be a Google Doc. I don't care. Write it down. But give it just enough detail that when you come back to it, you know exactly what you're talking about. Because listen, if you are anything like me,
I am queen of writing just a couple words down, thinking I can come back to that in an hour and remember what I was talking about. And I look at it and I have zero clue what I was talking about. Like literally it's gone. I have no idea what that was. So make sure that when you're writing down these stories that you're remembering, that you just give enough detail that when you come back to it, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that. Because again, that second draft is when we're going to start folding in those stories in amongst the facts that you've already brain dumped. When you come back to that second draft and you start writing down those things and writing down those stories, how detailed do you get? How much information do you share? Do you need to protect the identity of everybody involved at this point? The answer is no. You do not need to protect anybody's identity because at this point, this is your first draft. Two, get as detailed as you want. Don't feel like when you're in this writing process and you're writing these stories that you have to self-edit, which by the way, never edit your book while you're writing it. Don't go back. Don't edit it. Just flush it out. Get it out. Don't self-edit your stories. Don't try to determine the best way to write them before you've written them. Write them from memory. Write them from your heart. Put in all of the emotions, all of the colors, all of the senses, all of the facts. Write all of it down. Okay, because again, this first draft is for you. The second draft is for you. When it gets to the point that it goes to your editor, then we have a conversation about the stories. And this is when you're going to bring up and you're going to be like, hey, Marty, listen, some of these stories might be a little triggering to someone. Can you help me with that? And I'll be like, yes, yes, I can have you. And we're going to start taking notes of what the final outcome of that book is going to be. Because when we send it to our editor, who, by the way, isn't going to put your shit out there on Front Street, they're there to edit your book, make it better. They're going to go ahead and soften the edges of those stories. They will go ahead and change enough details that the person that you're writing about can't claim either defamation of character or right to publicity. They're going to change all of that for you, right? So we're going to protect you. The goal is to protect you, protect them, protect the book, make it a great book. Hope you sell a million freaking copies, right? So just write the story. If you don't feel like writing all of the details, don't write all the details. I write. Most of my stuff right now is written on social media. And there are times that when I'm fleshing out that which I'm writing in my notes section, I realize this can't be for public consumption. I need to soften the edges, right? So I might either write it and be like, oh, whoa, too much. Or I'm trying to write it and I realize personally and emotionally, I can't go there right now. So I don't write as much. Either way, write to where you feel safe. Safe in your body, safe in the story. By the way, if you are writing something that's triggering, please make sure you have some sort of a support person. Make sure you're staying grounded. Do something. Take a couple deep breaths. Meditate before you get started. If you're starting to get triggered and you feel your chest tightening up and you feel your face getting red, walk away from your computer. Go outside barefoot and just ground yourself, right? Glass of water. Phone a friend. Hey, girl. I just need some support right now. I'm writing. I'm triggered. Bring me back to baseline. Pay attention to your body. Pay attention to what's going on in that. Make sure you're staying safe while you're writing. Okay. And that really does sound kind of cheesy, but it's not, because when we're writing stories, our bodies don't know the difference. We are reliving that as if we are reliving that, as if we are there. Our bodies don't know the difference. Listen, there's something else that I want to say. When you are writing, it is absolutely crucial for you to keep your audience in mind, right? It's crucial because that's who we're writing for. We're writing a message to impart something into somebody else. We have to keep them in mind. However, don't be so generalized that you're trying to write for everyone. Because if you try to write for everyone, you're not going to actually hit anybody. You're not going to land anywhere. We don't want people who are lukewarm. We don't want people who just go straight down the safe middle. We want people that either piss people off or make people flock to them, right? The best marketers polarize their audience. So you want people that love you and you want people to hate you, but you don't want anybody in between, right? So don't try to write for everybody. If you have a very strong stance, and without me saying anything else to you, that five of your closest friend group is going to be totally pissed off if you actually said this. I don't know why they would be your closest friends if they get pissed off if they don't already know, but whatever. But if you already know people that if you said this out loud, they're like, oh, they might not appreciate that. Great. That's exactly what you need to be writing to polarize your audience. Okay. So just quick recap here. Talked about if you've decided you want to go to the traditional publishing route, then here's the things that you need to do. Listen, I'm probably not the best person to help you write a book proposal, but I can point you in a direction. So if that's the case, please do reach out to me. You can email me, Marti, M-A-R-T-I, at rebelqueen.co, not .com.co. You can go directly to my website, rebelqueen.co, book an action call with me. What you're going to get is, here's where you're at. Great. Here's an action plan of what you need to do next. This is where you need to go. This is what you need to do. And then, yeah, I'll let you ask me any question that you have. So we talked about that. We talked about how to write, give you some tips while you're writing, polarizing your audience. I'm going to give you one more tip that I think is super important at the beginning of the writing process. Because if you're anything like me, I need a goalpost. I need something to work towards. You just can't send me out into this big wide open field and say, there you go. Where the hell am I going? When do I know if I'm there? How do I know if it's time to stop? I just need something to shoot for, right? So this is what I need you to do. Everybody has a library. If you don't have a library at your house, then go to the library and just pick up some books. I want you to touch them, feel them. Hell, smell the books. I love books. Okay, anyways. So go to your personal library. I want you to pick up books, touch them, feel them. First thing I want you to do is determine what size book, and by size, I'm talking trim size, which means what is the length and the width of this book, literally. I want you to go pick it up and I want you to like look at the size that you are drawn to. I absolutely believe that all books are very personal to us. And I absolutely believe that we intuitively know what our end product is going to be. So I'm just going to give you some guidance here. Pick up the books. What length and width are you drawn towards? If you don't have a ruler at home, get a bill, a dollar bill, a $20 bill, $10. They're all the same size, right? They're 6 inches. So you can get this dollar bill and use that as just a quick measurement to figure out like, hey, is my book a 6x9? Is it a 5x8? Is it a 5.5x8.5? Is it whatever? Is it a 12x12? I don't know. But figure out the trim size. Okay, great. The next thing that I want you to do is I want you to open the book up and I want you to start flipping through the pages. And I want you to stop at the thickness that you like. What page number are you on? Is it 150 pages? Is it 100 pages? Is it short and sweet? Is it 75 pages? I don't know. So stop at that page number. So whatever that page number is, like I do really well with like nice whole round numbers. Math is not my thing. Let's just say you're at 100 pages. You're going to estimate that there's 300 words to a page. So if you've stopped at 100 pages and there's 300 words to each of those pages, then the word count for your total book that you're going to shoot for is 30,000. And there's some other like little tips and tricks that I can share with you on how to break that down even more. But what I am going to tell you to do is just go to the website, rebelqueen.co. You stay on there long enough, just not very long. You're going to have a pop-up come up that says something about a writing guide, right? Download the writing guide and it's going to walk you through all of that and also give you some of those tips and tricks, some of which was just included in the last few minutes. Others is going to be on podcasts to come. But as always, friends, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. And if you have found value in this podcast, please do share with friends. And if you have not reviewed me, I would really appreciate your honest review. Till next time.
Friend, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Rebel Maker, where I not only support, but also encourage rebellious behavior, rebellious action, and doing the thing that no one thought you could do. Hell yes to you. If you're digging what you're hearing, finding inspiration, and actionable items for your next step, then please do all the things. Subscribe, share me with your besties, and send me a message. I'd love to chat. Cheers to your success.